stretching for me. Maybe never have done that in this service before, but there's always a first, isn't there? And we do need to stretch, so let's stretch. Oh. Stretch again. Three times. Boy, that looks good. Looks like a Pentecostal service. One more time. Okay. You may be seated. Wow. Why is it important to stretch? Ever wonder? Here are some reasons. Number one, it helps to maintain or increase range of motion. One reason. Number two, it helps to increase muscle tone. Another reason for stretching. Number three, stretching warms up the muscles, the tendons, and the joints, which prepares the body for physical exertion and a major workout. We know that the athletes in the Olympics do a lot of stretching before they participate in their event. Number four, stretching minimizes stress that can tighten muscles, such as before a competition. And lastly, stretching helps to relax muscles. It helps muscles recuperate, and it also helps to prevent injury. The majority of muscular effort ends up compressing various joints as well as the spine, but stretching decompresses your back as well as your joints. This prevents injuries while accelerating recovery of the joints, tendons, and the muscles. Now, some stretching experiences come easier than others. But when the stretching experience pushes us to the limit, we will need to learn how to survive that experience. What are some common ways stretching occurs? Many take the opportunity to stretch when they get up in the morning. You like to do that? I do. I find it helps me to wake up. Another good time for stretching is when you've been sitting for a long time. I find when I've been working at the computer for a long period of time, I need to get up from time to time, go take a walk in my office, stretch my arms a bit, and then I'm ready to go back to the computer once again. In baseball, there is what is called the seventh inning stretch. That's where the crowd stands to their feet in the middle of the seventh inning, and they do a few stretches, and then they sing, "Take me out to the ball game." In running a race, there is something called the home stretch, where the runner has the finish line in view. He's going to do all he can to get there as fast as he can. He stretches himself to the very limit in order to come in at the very best possible time. I've watched runners do that, and they're exhausted when they come to the end of that run. The word stretch is an interesting word. It means to expand or extend something to a greater size or length or strength. In our spiritual lives, stretching also needs to occur. Do you realize that? Stretching. God wants to stretch us so that we will become more like Jesus Christ. That's why he does that. He wants to stretch you in the area of your faith. Usually no one likes that kind of stretching because at times it can be a very painful experience. We often go through a lot of mental tugs of war because we don't like to make decisions that stretch us in that area. To have our faith stretched means we need to learn how to be flexible, how to be bendable in the hands of Almighty God. One of the unpleasant ways God uses us to grow in our love for Him and others is to put some really unlovable people in our path. Does that happen to you? Put some unlovable people in your path? He does that for a reason. It's going to help you to grow. You didn't realize it. But boy, is it a challenge. And it's one challenge that, if at all possible, we like to avoid such people. Here's the point. If we sense God is stretching us, it's best to cooperate with Him in those stretching experiences that we go through. It could be best put this way. Someone has made this statement. He said, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape." I find that a very interesting statement. God takes on the task of stretching us because He knows what lies ahead. He knows the challenges that are up and coming in each one of our lives. In the beginning, those challenges often are very small and they are limited in nature. For instance, when your computer goes down and you're under the gun time-wise, you know how frustrating that is. I know I've been frustrated. I almost wanted to throw the computer out the window. It was so frustrating. Or the car stops suddenly. Or you get a flat tire at just the most inopportune time. I've had that happen to me as well. Because you see, you already have a very full schedule. But you see, in these small and limited stretching occasions, God allows us to go through. He's getting us ready, friends, for bigger challenges and bigger setbacks that are on the horizon. It might happen for someone to maybe a major financial setback. Maybe it has to do with their family life, even the loss of someone very special to us. Or it may be about our health, like when we hear that awful word cancer, or when we have a heart attack or a stroke. Stretching comes in many, many different forms. That's why it's so important we learn how to stretch properly in the smallest, insignificant areas so we're not blown away in the major ones. We see how this was enacted out in the Israelites' wilderness experience, don't we? Where they thought many, many times it was too big of a stretch to follow God's leading in their lives. They thought it was too big of a stretch to trust Him for their food and for their water. They thought it too big of a stretch to go in and possess the promised land. You see, when they started to listen, and they started to obey, they became more supple to the way and will of God for their lives, so that when a bigger challenge presented itself in crossing the Jordan River, they met that challenge and possessed the land that God had promised to them. When they stopped being flexible, when they stopped trusting God, and instead tried to play God in their own life, they weren't ready when the Assyrians and the Babylonians came and took them into captivity. You know something? We're no different. There are those who talk about how it is too much of a stretch to get up on a Sunday morning and come to church, even though the rest of the week they have to get up much earlier for work. Thus they miss the spiritual benefits that can assist them in facing the pressures of life the rest of the week. For some it's too much of a stretch to read the Bible and to pray every day. But if we fail in those areas that may be called small stretches of faith, then we won't be ready for the bigger challenges that come our way. Then greater injury will be done to our marriages, to our relationships and families, not to mention our faith and devotion to God. We need to believe God in the small stuff. Then we will be better prepared to believe God in the bigger stuff. You see, our faith is won or lost during such stretching experiences. Its purpose is to transform us into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. However, if we refuse and stop stretching because it's too hard, and you see, we'll stop growing spiritually. Spiritual maturity doesn't come with age, as some might think. Growing old is not the same as growing up spiritually. You see, I've known 50-year-old kids. They never learned to grow up spiritually. On the other hand, I have known 15-year-old adults who have grown in leaps and in bounds in their walk with God. Spiritual maturity occurs when you and I are willing to be stretched. If we want to survive such stretching experiences and want to gain the victory, we need to make Evan Roberts' prayer our own. It was from this prayer that revival spread throughout Wales and all of the world. He prayed, you know what he prayed? He said, "Bend me, O Lord. Bend me, O Lord." Oftentimes when we're being stretched, we think God has abandoned us. We say, well, if that's what it's like to serve God, then I think I'll do my own thing. And I'll go my own way. But please remember, there's a purpose behind God stretching us. Therefore, rather than moving further away from God in those painful, stretching experiences, we actually ought to move closer to Him. Isaiah knew this to be true. He was very aware that he didn't know it all, but he knew God did. In fact, the Lord shared with him this truth recorded for us in Isaiah 58, verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You see, since God knows what's best, isn't it the smart thing to allow Him to stretch us? Yes, God likes to stretch us. That is no longer up for debate. We can therefore cooperate with Him and move forward, or we can resist and come up short of God's intended goal for our lives. The question therefore becomes, how can we survive? How can we grow during these stretching experiences? I think this question can be best answered by looking at the life of a rubber band. A rubber band is known for its stretchability. Our rubber bands are not effective unless they are stretched. They're not effective. What is it about a rubber band that can help us survive life-stretching experiences? It is to know who is doing the stretching. You see, a rubber band cannot stretch itself. It needs someone to stretch it so it can fulfill its purpose. As believers, we need the Lord to stretch us. With those thoughts in mind, I want us to consider again today the four young Jewish men we were introduced to a couple of weeks ago in our study of the Old Testament book of Daniel. Their names were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, there were four men who certainly faced the challenges of being stretched. They certainly did. Taken from their homes in Judah, they were made to serve King Nebuchadnezzar's court. Remember their first stretching experience way back at the beginning? Remember that? When they faced the dilemma of eating the food given to them by the king's table, they knew that to eat the king's food would violate God's law, but to refuse it would be an insult and could even lead to their death. But you see, it seemed like a very small thing. Shouldn't they make a big issue of something like that? They knew what God required, and they chose to identify with Him early on in the test. They accepted this stretching experience, and they won. What was the result? If you know the story, you remember what happened, and it was rather amazing. Daniel 1:17 records, As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all the literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Verse 20 adds that they were 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters in his whole kingdom. Wow. Soon a bigger test was coming. A bigger stretch was on their horizon. And it's found in our story today in Daniel chapter 3. And here's what happened. Nebuchadnezzar had built a huge golden statue of himself. And he told everyone to bow down to it. Why? Here's something to remember. Nebuchadnezzar, from the very beginning, seemed intent on fulfilling a grand objective. Do you know what that objective was? He not only wanted to establish a great kingdom, but to have a unified kingdom. He wanted that to occur as well. However, there was a problem. As a result of his conquering other nations, there now was an influx of people from all those various nations. How would he achieve the goal of unification in such a diverse setting? He felt this could be accomplished through the worshiping of this golden statue that he had built. The initial ceremony was very important in determining how successful the king's plan for unifying his empire would really be. He had it carefully designed and orchestrated so that it might occur. In fact, he even brought together an orchestra, which appears to have included instruments from all around the world. The orchestra itself was symbolic of the unity the king sought to see produced. The orchestra gave the cue when all were to fall down and worship the golden image. The political authorities of the land were to be the first group to participate. They were the ones to lead the way. These leaders represented not only the different levels of government, but also the various races, languages, and cultures that had been integrated into the government of Babylon. Had things gone according to the king's plan, it would have been a very spectacular ceremony. A huge crowd, virtually all who lived in Babylon, would have gathered around this magnificent golden statue that stood some 90 feet tall above the crowd. Keep in mind, not far away, and probably within view, the furnace was burning. Smoke was billowing from its top. Everyone knew they must choose between the two. It was the image or the furnace. Bow down or burn. Now Daniel's three Hebrew friends were numbered among the political leaders, of course, thanks to Daniel's recommendation and the promotion given them by Nebuchadnezzar himself. That's the setting. And so the celebration began. The orchestra signaled the political leaders that it was time to bow down. The rest of the masses were to follow the example of the leaders, perhaps in some type of grouping. But suddenly, something went wrong with the plan. What brought a halt to it all? Well, you see, certain Chaldeans came forward and they brought charges against three Jewish men. They said to the king that there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have not bowed down. The charge made against these three Hebrews was simply twofold. They were showing disregard to the king's authority, and they were unwilling to bow down to this image. Now here's what's so interesting. The Chaldeans were men who actually owed their lives to Daniel and his three friends. Do you realize that? Had Daniel not revealed the king's dream, had Daniel not revealed its meaning to Nebuchadnezzar, all of these wise men of the land would have been put to death by Nebuchadnezzar. Now they showed their gratitude by pointing out the disobedience of these three Hebrews to the king. The Chaldeans' opposition is not difficult to understand, however, given the goal of Nebuchadnezzar to use foreigners as part of his administration. The Chaldeans were the natives of Babylon, you see. Nebuchadnezzar himself, he was a Chaldean. Daniel and his three friends were outsiders. Yet they had higher positions in Nebuchadnezzar's administration than the Chaldeans themselves. Thus you see what happened. It was jealousy. Jealousy had motivated them to do what they did. So the king stopped the ceremony, and when he did that, everyone must have looked on with great interest to see how this matter would be handled, and to see if these three Hebrews would buckle under the king's orders. Well, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to him. He, in essence, decided to give them a second chance, because he knew their skills. He knew their abilities in the government, and he was a little reticent to have them put to death. So he thought, well, I'll give them another chance. He warned them, though, that if they failed to bow down, they would be cast into the fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar said to them, what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? What was their answer? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, in other words, if you don't throw us in there, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. They were certainly being stretched in their faith, weren't they? Deeply stretched in their faith. These three remained faithful to God, though, and to his law, even when threatened with a fiery furnace. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was enraged. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times hotter than it had actually been heated already. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and all their other clothing, and they were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. This furnace may have been a brick kiln, perhaps used in making the base for the golden image. Top was like a chimney from where the smoke could escape. It could serve a second purpose as a well. Offenders could be cast into the fire by being throwing them down from above. At the bottom there was a door or hole through which fuel could be added and air for combustible purposes. These three men did not stand a chance unless God was able to deliver them. They were cast in the top of the furnace, bound hand and foot. And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished what happened next. He said to his high officials, he says, was it not three men we cast into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, certainly, O king. And he answered and he said, but look, I see four men. Not bound, but loose, and walking in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. And Nebuchadnezzar came to the door of the furnace of blazing fire, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and all the king's officials gathered around and saw that the fire had no effect on their bodies, nor was there a hair on their head singed, nor was their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. The only thing they lost in those flames was the ropes that had bound them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants who put their trust in him. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses reduced to rubbish heap. Why? Because as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. And the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. You know, while we're in awe about this miraculous working of God, there's another very important lesson for all of us to take heart. Here's the point. Because these men had previously been willing to be stretched by God in not eating of the king's food, they were now able to be victorious when the king said, bow or burn. Then, in essence, they said, we don't even need to think about our answer. It's a flat no. God was so delighted in their response that he not only protected them from the heat and the flames, but he also walked with them in the midst of the fire. God is delighted, friends, when we follow him and his word during such times of stretching. Don't resist those stretching experiences that God allows you to go through, whatever it might be in your life. Remember, if the rubber band is not used and stretched from time to time, you know what will happen to it? It'll dry out, it'll rot, it'll lose its elasticity, it no longer will be able to be what it was created for. In fact, Pauline had some rubber bands that she used to use in stretching during her time of recovery. And Pauline pulled one of them out just recently. She tried to pull it and it snapped. It broke because it hadn't been used in a long period of time. So it is with us. There's nothing easy about being stretched by God. But if we don't allow God to stretch us, then we'll never be what he has created us to be. Are you willing to be stretched? Remember, our life with God is lived out successfully to the degree we are willing to be stretched by him. If we aren't, then we're going to be pulled apart. Jesus gives us a key in achieving such a goal when he made this statement in Matthew 6:33. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Upon hearing these words, some people say, but what if I don't want to be stretched in the particular way or direction that God is wanting to stretch me? It doesn't fit my plans for my life. Please understand, God will never make us into what we've not been created to be, nor will he take us where he has not created us to go. God stretches us into what he has designed for us, friends. So all we need to do is cooperate with him by making those conscious choices to walk in his way, to seek first his kingdom and become everything he has created us to be. Once we have surrendered to Jesus, once we have become serious about serving him, we'll find it possible to be stretched and thus be willing to adapt in ways we never ever thought possible. Yes, God's plan for our lives is to stretch us, but if we refuse, then ultimately not only will we lose, but also those around us. This continual stretching on God's part is so that we can cover more ground and be a blessing to others in ways we otherwise could not be. Paul was willing to be stretched by God, wasn't he? I like the way he puts it in Philippians 3:13. He said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the mark. The phrase Paul uses, reaching forward, in the Greek, literally means to stretch oneself toward. It is only when we allow God to stretch us that we will survive and prosper in our walk with God. God wants to stretch our hearts and vision to be more in keeping with his will. So if we want to be everything God has created us to be willing by faith to be stretched. I don't know how God's going to do it this week in your life. I'm sure there may be a stretching experience in store. Our closing hymn reminds us of how important it is to do that. If this is your desire, sing this hymn as a prayer of commitment, living by faith in Jesus alone, trusting, confiding in His great love. Trust Him. He'll see you through.